We are thankful for the invitation. We always say this, but we truly and sincerely mean it for the responsibility that has been given us to stand here tonight. We don't take that lightly. Amen. Hopefully, by the grace of God, we never will. Been pastoring 36 years, and I still come into the pulpit of the Lord with fear and trembling. Amen. We do appreciate your prayers for our wife, Charity. She did have a tumor removed a few weeks ago. Ended up being about 9 inches by 6 inches by 3 inches. And she is still recovering and still very limited in her abilities, but we appreciate all the prayers and your thoughts and do desire your continued prayers the Lord would bring her to complete health and strength. I love my wife. Always have loved my wife. Been married 37 years. But it's been a long 4 or so months. We just desire to have her back and able. Just don't feel complete without our help meet our dear one. It's been such a long year so far. I don't know what the rest of 2015 holds for us. I said something a little strange just the other day. It's been such a long and difficult time, I actually miss going shopping. Haven't been able to even go out to do that. But the Lord has blessed her, and there was no cancer, but there was, praise the Lord, some connection to other parts, and continue to pray. We're so thankful to come stand in this place. We love Home Baptist Church. Think much of Home Baptist Church. What she is by the grace of God. We love your pastor more than probably any man in the world. Thank God for him. Years ago, my Uncle Don would call me, wanting me to supply preach for him. He was going to go away, be away somewhere. He wanted me to come fill in for him. And I said, Uncle Don, I'm pastoring. I just don't feel like I can leave the church that I'm pastoring, that God has called me to supply and fill in. And he'd say, oh, I understand. But his feeling was he just thought every preacher would like a chance to preach in the greatest Baptist church in the world. And he felt that way about Home Baptist Church. And I never understood that. I felt I have pastored some good Baptist churches, some of the best I feel like the Lord has placed me, but just never could get to that place where I could say the greatest. Till now, I bring you greetings from the greatest Baptist church in all of the world, Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio. I'm glad to be here at the second greatest. Some of our folks are here, and more of our folks are coming and planning on coming. And I don't say that to humor them. I said the very same thing in our own services not a while back. I really feel that way. God has so blessing and so good to us at Faith. I don't understand where the blessings are coming from or why God is doing what He's doing. I certainly don't deserve to pastor the people the Lord has placed me over, but I am so thankful. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Hebrews. We'll take you to the 10th chapter tonight for our text. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. We'll read to the close of this chapter. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So often I stand in the pulpit of our church there at Faith, and I have to declare how amazed I am at how God works in the messages that He gives me and in the things that are brought out in the Sunday school class and the songs that are selected for that day, and none of this orchestrated or planned, just the work of the Lord. Just amazes me sometimes to see how God works in putting all things together to bring us to understanding great truth. Worship Him. I say that tonight because as I think of the message our brother just brought, and even the special that has just been sung concerning Job, I am amazed at how God is working tonight. The message the Lord has laid upon our heart has to do with the need of patience. The need of patience. Verse 36 says, you have need of patience. And I'm going to just kind of extract that statement from that verse and declare unto every one of us that is applicable to all of us. I have need of patience. My greatest weakness, my greatest need is patience and more patience. And I always regret my lack of patience. I don't believe there's a single person here, no matter what your personality, that can say you don't need patience. You don't need more patience. The Scriptures lay before us overwhelmingly the need of patience. The patience that we need in all of our relationships. The patience that we need in our relationships concerning the Lord and in the Lord and His family and in His church. The patience that we need for our spouses, our children, our homes, our families. The patience we need to be a good witness, to bring honor and glory to the Lord in our lives. Oh, how great the need of patience is. The word patience in verse number 36 means a cheerful endurance, a constancy, a continuance, a patient waiting. Patience is not just a passive, do-nothing thing. But patience is also an active, continue to do something thing. There is the patience that causes us not to get mad, not to get upset, not to do this, not to do that. But But there's also patience that calls us to continue. The word patience many times hedges in on endurance and perseverance and continuance. I think many of God's people underestimate the importance of this thing called patience. We joke about it. We define it very loosely and lightly. Oh, God help us to understand the importance of patience. We heard much of that in our first message tonight. The song that was just sung was about a man named Job, and the Bible says, remember, consider the patience of Job. One of the main reasons I believe we find Job in Scripture is to show us the importance and necessity of patience. As we've studied and thought about the importance of patience, the Lord impressed upon my mind how patience plays a part in so many things. Consider your faith, our faith. There is an element of patience in faith. There is an element of patience in hope. There is an element of patience in love. There is an element of patience in our preservation, in our perseverance. Patience is of critical importance. We need it as believers, as God's people. But even if you're lost, all people need patience. Without it, you'll never live any semblance of happy living. We have heard how important patience is in the ministry. God's men have to be patient. I believe that patience is found in, and patience comes from and is derived from God's Word. I don't believe you're ever going to gain patience. I don't believe you're ever going to possess patience. I don't believe you're going to ever grow in patience, separate and apart from God's Word. He has provided this Word to provide for us all of our needs. And it is the Spirit of God that uses His Word to produce all of these things within us. And if you're not a person of the book, if you're not a person of God's Word, you're never going to be a patient person. Don't pray for patience if you don't spend time, all the time, in God's Word. This is where it's derived from. As the Lord led me on my message tonight, I was going to preach and use Jeremiah chapter 1 for my text.
You have to be patient with me, brother.
I'm preaching a series of messages on Sunday morning on the power of God's Word. Yeah. And there's Jeremiah, I'm just a child, I can't speak. And God gave him His Word. And he went with God's Word. You study the life of Jeremiah and you're going to see the power that is found in God's Word. The Bible, the Word of God, has the power to bring life. It's the power of God unto salvation. This book, God's Word, has the power to destroy, has the power to demolish, has the power to rip down and tear out and root up. The Spirit uses God's Word many times to just rip us apart. And we need some ripping apart sometimes. You find that all in what our brother read there in Jeremiah chapter 1. There were four negative consequences told to Jeremiah that he was going to do through the preaching of God's word before God ever got to the building and the planning.
That's right.
There was going to be a lot of demolition work.
Amen.
And we could use some demolition work in our lives. There's a lot of things we've accessorized our lives with that aren't pleasing to God. God wants them ripped out. We need to get in the word. We'll find it true. God's word has the power to rejoice the heart.
Amen.
We're to be a happy people.
Amen.
No matter what we're going through, our heart can rejoice.
Yes.
I describe the joy of the Lord as an ever-present feeling of gladness deep down inside of us.
Amen.
No matter what we're going through, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it is that ever-present gladness. Though we might be sorrowful and sad externally, and our hearts may grieve, we can still have that ever-present gladness. And as we have that ever-present gladness, we can experience joy and rejoicing on top of that. And it's all going to be rooted in God's Word. The world's not going to bring you joy. The world's not going to cause the heart to rejoice.
Amen.
The lies of Satan aren't going to cause the heart to rejoice. Living to excess and enjoying all that life has to offer is not going to bring rejoicing. Oh, but God's Word, God's precious Word can. God's Word has the power to produce patience in the life of God's people. Jeremiah had what I would describe as an entirely negative ministry. I've had some negative ministry. I've had experiences of negative ministry. It's necessary. But Jeremiah's entire ministry was negative. He had to learn patience. And he found it in the Word of God. He found it in what God told him. And the confidence that God gave him in His Word. God's Word has the power to give us boldness.
Yeah.
We're cowardly,
yeah,
wimpy, afraid of our shadow.
Yeah.
Type of Christian most of the time. This ain't the right time. I better not talk to that one. This isn't really good. We can justify keeping our mouth shut quicker than we do anything else in life.
Amen.
We lack boldness today in our Christianity.
Amen.
And that can be traced, I believe, directly to God's Word. Our boldness will not be any greater than our digging into God's Word. This is where our boldness is going to be found. Patience. God's Word produces patience. Here in our text, as he says, you have need of patience. Several things I see in this chapter that I also found when I used Jeremiah as my thought a couple Sundays ago. In verse number 32, He calls the Hebrew believers here to call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Most certainly, this illumination has to do with salvation. It has to do with God commanding the light to shine into His heart. But I believe you can also see in this illumination is God revealing truth to him, to them. Because we read back there in verse number 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth. They had received truth. They had received the knowledge of truth. God had not only saved their souls and enlightened them to Jesus Christ, but He had enlightened them to His Word. And they had a patience in receiving God's Word. We have to patiently receive God's Word. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Verse 25 plainly tells us that. So much the more as we see the day approaching. We need church, using that term truthfully according to the way I am applying it. We need it more and more and more, not less and less and less.
Amen.
And we must be patient in our assembling, patient in our worship, patient in going to the house of the Lord to hear and to receive God's Word. We can't get enough. We can't get saturated. Because we're human, as we're receiving, we're always losing something. We need to patiently study God's Word, patiently listen to the teaching of God's Word. Jeremiah felt so inadequate. I'm just a child. God said, I've touched your mouth. I've given you my Word. And he had to patiently receive that Word. And that's not just the only time God spoke to Jeremiah. As you study out the book, there were other times the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. The Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He had to patiently receive it. Folks, we need to be patient in receiving God's Word. We have chorus times with our kids at the opening exercise of Sunday school. And frequently I'll tell the kids as they go to Sunday school, remember, you learn more by listening than talking. Listen to your teacher. Folks, we learn more by listening than talking.
Amen.
We need to be patient. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God so that you can rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
We don't know it all. And God forgive us for having the attitude that we do know it all.
Amen.
May we patiently be taking in the word of God. Patiently receiving it. In verse number 34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. It's found throughout this chapter in the book of Hebrews. But here I picked this verse out to show you that these Hebrew believers showed patience in obeying, in doing. Paul commends them, for you had compassion of me. You took joyfully, knowing you have a home in heaven. They had not only patiently received, but they had patiently obeyed. Folks, we need to be patient in our obedience to God. Patient to receive the Word of God and then implemented in our lives.
Amen.
It's more blessed to hear and do than it is to just hear and be proud of
right.
Knowing the truth.
Right.
Blessed are those that do.
Yeah.
It's the teaching of Scripture. And we have to be patient in our obedience. We can't go for a year or 2 years, 10 years, or 20 years. We must patiently obey, patiently do that which the Word of God tells us. In season and out of season, the preacher must preach the Word of God. Because God's people need God's Word. And they should patiently receive it. But they need to also patiently obey it. In verse 32 and 33, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. These verses I pick out because it speaks of their suffering. We need patience in suffering. Nowhere in God's Word does He promise sunshine all the time. There are hard times. There are difficulties. And all of those things, as we've heard, are ordained of God. They're not by accident. Bad things happen, excuse the expression, to good people. And guess what? It's on purpose. God causes these things. God is sovereign. He's not just sovereign when the sun is shining and the roses are growing. But when it's pouring down rain and all we know is storm and we don't think we can endure another day, that is of God. And we have to be patient in our times of suffering also. These Hebrews had been through much persecution, much difficulty. And so often in this book, they're called to be patient. Verse 37 and 38, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Praise God for the truth of that verse. Just a little while. And he that's coming is going to come. Guess who that is? That's none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Who's not coming again to be a servant, not coming again to be whipped, not coming again to be spat upon. But He's coming in all of His glory in just a little while. And we need to be patient, and the Hebrews are being called to be patient in their continuance. In their continuing in the things of the Lord. Of all these things, maybe that's the most difficult. To keep on keeping on. To continue. To do what the Word of God tells us. To do what God would expect of us. To do what God does expect of us. To live as God would have us to live. To be separate from the world. Different from the world. To be, as He uses here in this passage of Scripture, a gazing stock to the world. Okay, we can do those things for a little while. But you know what? It's difficult to continue patiently in those things. But that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. Verse 36, where we find that expression, "for or because you have need of patience." The most immediate application to that statement follows. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We need to exercise patience in waiting. Boy, we get a hold of something in the Bible and we just go at it with all we've got, and then we think God's going to bless and keep the promises the next day. That didn't work out. I'm going to quit. Now, I'm sure there are some who've never done this. But I think on the other side, there's a whole lot of preachers here who've quit a lot. Especially on Sunday nights or Monday mornings. Not of the Lord, all of the flesh. Just ain't working out right. These people aren't listening. These people won't do. This isn't happening. That isn't happening. God doesn't promise immediate results. We have need of patience after we have done to wait. Wait to receive the promise. There's so many promises that require patience and waiting. Patience and waiting. In James chapter 1, verse Verse number 3. Well, let's read verse 2 also. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Listen to the instruction of verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. Be patient. Wait for the result. Wait for the effect. Wait for the answer. Wait for the promise to be fulfilled. In this same book, in chapter 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Then in the middle of this verse, there's this, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rains. Why does he throw in this little story about a farmer? As an illustration. A farmer has to till the ground. A farmer has to plant the seed. And then the very next day, he's able to harvest. Doesn't work that way. He has to wait patiently. And that's the lesson. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, has long patience. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Be ye also patient. I came across a statement by a man who said, when we are exercising patience, we are in a growing season. And I thought that was so profound. When we're called upon not to talk about patience, but to have patience, to exhibit patience, to exercise patience, guess what? What's happening? We're growing. We're growing in the Lord. Patience produces fruit. And when we're patient, we're in a growing season. Yeah. He encourages us to be patient at those times. Psalms 37. Could read the whole chapter. We'll just pick out a portion here. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Doesn't it seem like the wicked? Doesn't it seem like the troublers? Doesn't it seem like those who are thorns in the flesh? Just bang, everything seems to go their way. They don't have to wait for anything. But we do. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Don't be fretful. Don't be nervous. Don't be upset about those who prosper in their way when they're doing wrong. Don't even think about them. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Jesus gave us this promise. Repeated this. The meek will inherit the earth. The patient will inherit the earth. But it'll come in God's time. We have to wait. We have to be patient. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place and it shall not be. Where'd they go? Looked like everything was going their way. They didn't need patience. Just wait. See what happens to them. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Patience. Wait on the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, Jesus talks about many grievous things in these verses. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. You'll hear of wars and commotions. Be not terrified, for these things must first come. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, great earthquakes in divers places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. This is not a rosy picture in any of these words. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You're going to be betrayed by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. Some will seek to put you to death. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. All this doom and gloom, terrible forecast. The Lord gives us a promise. And then in verse number 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. The word patience here is a little bit stronger word than patience in our text. It cranks things up just a little bit more to the enduring side of patience. And the Lord is instructing us in our patience and in our enduring, we possess our souls. The word possess there means preserve or save. Then you come to the word souls here. It comes from the word pneuma, breath. Sometimes in Scripture, I believe the word soul is used in reference to our lives. I believe it's used that way here. As the Lord gives all of these doom and gloom and terrible forecasts, He says, in your patience and in your enduring, you will save your life. We don't like that. We tend to think that's contrary to Scripture. God has saved our eternal soul through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about our lives? We're to be busy about saving our lives. We can't do it without God's grace. We can't do it without the Spirit of God. But we are called, I believe, we are commanded in Scripture to save our lives. You can waste your life, or you can use your life for the honor and glory of the Lord. You can lose it and have it be a wreck and have the Lord ashamed of it. You can serve Him and make it matter. And have Him say, again, only to His glory by grace, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's such a sobering thought. In your patience and in your enduring, save your life. When it gets tough, if you quit, you're going to lose your life. If you quit receiving the Word of God and you don't hunger and thirst after the things of God and you don't feed upon that which He has given you for your nourishment, you're going to starve to death. You're going to lose your life. If you don't obey, if you don't do, you're going to lose your life. Your life's going to be wasted. If you don't continue, if you don't keep on keeping on, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, how far you've come. If you quit today and the Lord comes next week, you've lost your life. That's perseverance, which we do because of our preservation. I think we have many, many Baptist church members who are losing or have lost their lives because they didn't exercise and possess patience in these things we're looking at tonight. It seems to me there are fewer and fewer who are being patient in the receiving of God's word.
Amen.
Fewer and fewer who really hunger and thirst after righteousness. Fewer and fewer who just love to hear God's word taught. More and more who want smooth things. More and more who want easy things. More and more who are leaving this church and that church where the truth is preached because the church down the road has a better program, something more exciting, something more entertaining for the kids. I believe we have many Baptists, maybe even among us tonight, who have quit receiving the blessed, precious, holy scriptures as food for their soul. We have fewer and fewer who are doing. More and more coming up with the reasons why they don't do. Well, that doesn't apply today. That's not right. I don't like that. That's what they preached years ago. Some of the great men of the old days have been mentioned here tonight. And I thank God that they preached it faithfully.
Amen.
And they did it. And they lived it. And they were an example before others to do it.
Amen.
And God's people were challenged to be obeyers of God's word and patient in that. We have fewer and fewer who are suffering and taking suffering patiently. The first sign of bad weather and they're gone. Storm, they're gone. Difficulty, they're gone. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. There's fewer and fewer who are continuing. Fewer and fewer waiting and really anticipating the coming of Christ as though it was imminent. And it is imminent. We have need of patience. We need to cheerfully endure, be constant, continue, patiently wait. Consider the example of Jeremiah. Consider the example of many of the other prophets from the Old Testament. Consider the example of men of the New Testament like Paul and those who suffered greatly, patiently took it, patiently kept on serving the Lord. Let's consider those of our own lifetimes who have showed us patience. By the grace of God and for the honor and glory of God, let us be patient. Patient in receiving, patient in obeying, patient in suffering, patience in continuing, patience in waiting for the received reward and the return of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." The word endured there is exactly the same word that is patience, verse 1. Jesus was patient. He took the cross and all that was a part of the cross patiently for us. He finished. He went all the way and did the will of the Father. We have need of patience. No one here is exempt. And these are certainly days, as we've heard, where we're not going to survive without patience. God help us to be a patient people. Come what may, let us be patient.